You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, aka Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Back to another episode of Habs Nightly, folks. Sorry for the delay. We've had exams on one end of North America, and then we've had holiday financial instability on the other end. How are we doing? What's up, Mason?
I am in exam season coma.
Nice. What a time.
Yeah, brain not working.
Brain rot. And all you want to do is just get fucked up.
Pretty much.
Oh, I miss it. I don't know. You think you're doing good, though? Yeah. You're doing right by yourself.
I mean, we'll see. I had one exam where the stakes were fairly low. I could have not written it and passed the...
Hell yeah.
Passed the course. Oh, sorry.
You're good. We know you're tired.
My exam yesterday was a little higher stakes. I don't know. It was... I don't know how they did it when you were in college, Corey, but we have, like... You can't leave until an hour goes by.
What?
Like, an hour has to go by before you can, like...
Like, even if you finish? Even if you finish early?
Yeah, in order to not disrupt people.
I think that's admirable, but I don't think you're really disrupting people. Like, look, I'm gonna say this. I have test anxiety. I can admit a lot of my... instability in school, a lot of it really stemmed from just panicking during tests, and I was panicking regardless if people were leaving quicker than I was. That was not going to change anything, but I think that that's very progressive to do, is to give everyone, to not shatter their world as bad so quick. Because I know motherfuckers can be in and out in like 20 minutes. Like, I'm done. You know?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I think it's courteous. I think it's nice, but fuck, dude. That's not stopping Corey from having a meltdown, even though he knows the fucking subject.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I'm notorious in, like, my year of nursing for... I don't know. I've just always been this way. I test very, like, efficiently. I get in and out of there pretty quickly. I usually have about 15 minutes to kind of sit and ponder how I did before the hour mark hits, and then I leave.
Right.
Last year, during one of my, or like, nurse-specific examinations, I was the only person that got up when the hour market, and like I'm like walking down the aisle and people like hating me, like even people like I was friends texting me after, like, I fucking hate you, like,
fuck yeah. But you know what, that's not their fault.
No, like I totally hate me too. That's the thing.
Yeah,
right?
I get this, it, but it doesn't change anything.
Oh well, this exam, Corey.
Uh-huh.
My prof goes up and she says, okay, it's the hour mark. Like, you know, so people can like start to leave. And nobody stood up.
Ooh. As a prof, I'm like, I'm fucked.
And she what's the word? Said it again.
Oh my god.
Like, I guess she didn't think people heard.
Yeah. And she's like, there's no way these kids are all still having a crisis.
And nobody got up.
Oh shit.
Again. So like, I wonder if like she was like, oh fuck. Like, oh shit. Fuck.
Yeah, because her plus minus is about to go down hard.
Are we about to get like she was saying it, and like, I am writing this exam and it was fucking hard, Corey. Like, I've never, I mean, mm-hmm. generally, like, you study for shit you're not going to do well on because, like, you're behind.
Yeah.
But I have, like, a 70-something in this course. Like, I have, like, a decent mark. And I would say, like, I, like, averaged it out. I spent, like, at least 20 hours just, like, over the week before just studying.
Uh-huh.
And I, like, oh, my God, it was rough. I think I was done, like, an hour 35 into this exam. I'm usually like a 45-50 minute get out of there as fast as I can.
There was a lot of times there's a lot of times where I'm like literally the last motherfucker in there, dude, and I'm just like just shitting myself, and I'm still gonna get a good grade. There's times where I did that shit and I fucking failed, you know. But for a person that has that spectrum, they could be the first out, the last out, I don't think it matters. But I get you. I when you're fucking struggling in that seat and no one else gets up, I'm sure you felt a little satisfaction, like, okay, you know, it's not
it's a huge satisfaction.
You're like, oh, thank God.
I'm like, thank fuck. Like, maybe I'll get a bell curve here. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Like, everybody's scoring low, so they gotta fucking set it lower.
Yeah, like, maybe, I don't know, but it was ridiculous. And the worst part is, Corey, I knew like so we had like three main units.
Mm-hmm.
I knew like what kind of stuff, like our profs like told us ahead of time. Like what to like largely.
Yeah, like this is the chunk of it. Yeah.
Well, one of our profs told us. The other one told us it was gonna be equally balanced for all different units. And the other one said, no, it's heavily skewed towards this.
Yeah, heavy chapter three, motherfucker. Just
yeah. But and I knew, and I was like, Jesus, fuck. Like, this is brutal. But I think the first person stood up around like an hour 15. My prof probably fucking wiping some sweat off of her brow. Like, thank God one of them stood up. But I got one more left, and then we're going to chill out for a couple days before we head back to work. But
heard that. I'm looking forward to it. Well-deserved. Well-deserved. Whether you pass or fail, you got to give yourself that time.
No, absolutely.
Well, we have a shared holiday coming up. Are you excited for Christmas by chance? I know personally that it was my favorite semester of school. I don't know what it's like nowadays, but us down here, we split it in two. It was your first semester was, you know, basically started early August, ended December. I'm sure that's still how it goes, but it could be different. But that was my favorite.
Starts in early August.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, when does y'all start?
September.
I don't know, Mason. I don't know what to tell you. All right.
That's
ew. Whatever, dude. I had fun. College was fantastic. But yeah, the first one was always my favorite because it had the best holidays, like the best breaks were right there. So I could break down the semester in itself. Like, I need to bust ass until Thanksgiving, and then I need to coast from Thanksgiving to Christmas. And then I got this in the fucking bag. Now the second one's the hardest, because you come out of Christmas, you have your time off. You're like, fuck, dude, I just crushed it. I'm not ready to crush it again. You come out of the Christmas break. You have Mardi Gras. You have fucking Mardi Gras.
Will not be a problem.
Yeah, not for y'all, but for us, that is so hard on a young adolescent. That is so fucking hard. You have an entire 2 weeks. It's really 3 days, but you have 2 weeks of pre-Mardi Gras before it happens. So it's like the beginning of your semester where you need to be the buckled down person. You're immediately getting hit with the debauchery of New Orleans Mardi Gras. And then that one always crippled me. I took my hardest classes my first semester, and my second one was always like majority, like art theory, art history, color theory, a bunch of my art classes, shit like that, history, you know, but like the prereq bullshit was all first. Maths and Englishes and shit like that, sciences.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like kind of excited for my next semester, to be honest with you.
What's it gonna be?
It's
like, you got it pre-planned or?
Well, yeah, you book all your classes in like July.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we did per semester down here.
What do you mean?
Like, this is here's the big jumble of shit I have to finish by, you know, in order to move to the next step. You could choose how you wanted to attack it. If I wanted to take the first math, then the second math, then the third math, obviously I can't do one and two together, but if I wanted to tackle math one, let's call it that, finish that in this semester, math two can be taken the next semester. Basically, I could knock out shit not together. I don't know how else to say it, other than if I wanted to lean on like all of my prereqs fast, I could, or I could have left them and slowly did them as I wanted. Like an entire year, I didn't take my English bullshit, you know?
That's still like, I think it depends on the program you're in, right? Like,
yes, yes.
That's very possible for most people, but I'm in nursing, so it's not, I don't have the freedom to structure.
You have a strict outline, like you have to walk this. This is the guide. Yeah. This is your path.
Exactly. Right. Like, a lot of people, you get like a biology degree and maybe you like declare your major in second or third year.
Right.
My major is my major. It's not.
Yeah. And you have to follow this path in order to get to it.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So
anyway,
a couple classes, like, there's a couple like things that change per semester, but what I'm doing per year is always the same. Like, some people had they had a maternity and mental health as their placement in the fall semester, which is what we're in right now. I had community, so in the next semester I'll have my maternity, mental health.
Nice.
But it, for the most part, you're walking the same kind of line.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, let's get full circle. I think the original question was, are you excited for your Christmas break and said holiday.
I'm very excited. Very fucking excited.
I'm sorry. I saw it. You had the mic off and I was like, if he doesn't talk, I'll walk around it until he gets back. He's probably getting a beer or water or something.
I was just down in some water. I have a little bit of a exam stress induced cold. But
gotta love it.
But no, I'm very excited to fucking sit in my house and drink beer and watch World Juniors and make money. That's all I right now.
Oh yeah, dude.
I am so incredibly broke that I got offered Christmas Day and I was practically jumping in my fucking
heard that. Yeah.
Oh, I was so excited.
Christmas Day, the work at your age is so fun. Because everybody the rules that day for whatever job you're at, they're so much more lenient. Just like, look, thank you for coming, you know. Act an ass behind the scenes, you know. Thank you for being here. We need someone. And then everybody's just having fun. Everybody's just cutting up that day.
I can't imagine that my my job will be at all any more laid back, but
are you sitting with people? Is that your job right now? Or
what do you mean?
Are you still doing like you were saying? I remember a while back you were sitting with the older folks. Would that be the job you're going back to? Or are you going cut trees on Christmas?
Oh, I don't sit with them. I'm a PSW, so I provide perennial and basically all care.
Okay. You're still gonna have I'm fun. It's gonna be laid back.
I doubt that I'll have fun, but
you're gonna
I'll
have fun.
Money that I won't care.
You're gonna be making money and you're still gonna have fun, I promise. I promise. You're gonna have so much fun. Working on the holidays is fucking hilarious.
Wiping ass is not.
Come on. Yeah, that's not going to be fun, but the day itself will be fun.
That is my whole day.
You're focusing just on the poo. You're focusing just on the poo and not the beautiful peoples whose ass you're wiping. I don't know. Somebody's going to try to slip you some drinks. Somebody's going to be like, tell you something fucking ignorant. You're going to have a good day. It's just what happens to young people when they're forced to work a holiday.
I do appreciate the optimism. I think, unfortunately, a lot of the people that I work with in long-term care, it's not a retirement home, it's long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
They probably won't know that it is Christmas.
Yeah.
But I've yet to work a Christmas as a PSW, so... We'll see.
You're gonna have a fucking blast.
What it's like. Maybe you're right. I'm not overly optimistic though.
I bet you text me and
you're gonna get my RN.
You're gonna text me and you're gonna say, I did have a good day. And I'm gonna be
my real hope is that I get an afternoon shift, so I go in for 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I wake up really early. You know, have Christmas, whatever. Have mm-hmm. my morning cup of Baileys. And then stop having Baileys at 11 o'clock, maybe 12.
Yeah. And then go in just feeling crisp.
And just
hope I can go in
feeling good. For at least the first 4 hours of my shift.
Amazing. You're going to have so much fun, dude. You're going to have so much fun, dude. There's not a job I had. And honestly, I wasn't caring for people. There was not a job that I had where I didn't come in not sober. I'm not talking I'm coming in like Jim fucking Leahy, but just coming in just at the right amount to make the day fun. You know, I'm not, it's a holiday. I'm not sacrificing having a good day because I'm at work. I'm bringing the fun with me, even if it's a personal party.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this will, who knows.
That ass is going to be wiped with, like, just a smile on your face. I'm telling you, dude. You're gonna be like, hell yeah.
One can pray.
Oh, man, just a couple Sleemans, dude. Just a couple Sleemans. Oh, shit. A couple
Sleemans in the morning.
Are you going home, or are you just going to be up in Peterborough?
Fuck, yeah, I'm going home.
I don't know, Mason. Calm down.
I'm not having holidays with those fuckers.
Yeah, come on.
No, I'm actually home right now. I went home for I have between my exams. I'm here like tonight and then I'm gonna leave like tomorrow. I was like, I wanna like eat like a home cooked meal, like see my dogs.
Nice. Do you want to talk about Christmas meals?
Nah.
I'm just fucking with you. Let's get into some Habs topics. Oh shit. Let's see. I think it's been like 2 weeks since we've talked. So we're not gonna talk about all 2 weeks worth of fucking games, but let's see. Fuck are we? Oh, okay, here we are. So boom boom. So I guess the last thing we probably ended on the Detroit game. So we have the Seattle game, LA, which was, I don't even want to fucking touch on that. That game could have been DVR'd, and then the teams couldn't fucking play, and they decided to just play the old footage of a month ago. The Sabres game, the Preds game, and then the last night game against Pittsburgh. Anything you want to touch on with that? There was some pretty good moments in some of these games.
Fuck, I don't even know where to begin.
All right, I'll take us for a walk. How about we just start Jaden Struble? You want to start there?
Good place to start.
Great place to start. So he's got 2 goals now. I believe we touched on his first goal. I think that was the last episode. But here we are. He's got a new goal. Fantastic, beautiful goal. Right place, right fucking time. You tweeted that he probably took Arbor Jacki's job. I think it's hard to knock this kid off the seat right now, though.
Yeah, I think he scored last night against Pittsburgh. It was a really nice goal, a little pinch in. I believe it was, yes, first.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it was first goal in front of the home crowd. So that's
nice.
I really do believe that he has taken Jacki's job. I think that him, like, we talked about him, you know, even over the last year and a half or so,
mm-hmm.
often, like, he's the forgotten Habs prospect, and he's reminded everybody here why he was drafted in the second round, that he, you know, he shouted and screamed and said, look, I'm not to be forgotten. I'm not in the shadows. This is a guy that has played really good hockey. Like, I think Jaden Struble has been one of our best defenders, period, let alone young defenders. I don't think he's just playing better than Jacki right now. I think he's playing better than Barron. I think he's playing better than Lindstrom. I think he's playing better than Gouley. And I think since Savard's come back, I think he's played better than Savard too. We do need to give Savard some props for scoring after he just recently returned. That's pretty awesome. But
yeah,
Jaden Struble has been...
He's been our best defenseman as of late.
Other than Mike Matheson, I think I would agree with that.
Yes. Matheson at times has looked a little wonky in this past 2 fucking weeks, but Jaden Struble has really accepted his chance and has done everything he could to just be the fucking best right now. And there's not it's really nobody that I see is doing better than Jaden Struble. And I think his advantage obviously is that it's new to him. So my eye is letting things slip, but there's not a lot of things that he's done that I have to look past. Like he's doing really good offensively and defensively. He's just been a fucking treat to see. David Savard though does need his flowers. You know, it's for the Habs, it's been refreshing. You know, some of these older guys are getting hurt, and by no means is that what I'm excited for. But seeing like the Habs are becoming a young team, it's a lot of young kids showing their abilities, given their opportunities. It was really, really a nice treat to have David Savard come back, which I'm sure not a lot of Habs fans were expecting the best thing. I mean, he hasn't done enough to prove that, but it's really nice and comforting to have like a person come back that is a veteran that could have that prowess with this team, other than just another young gun getting their shot. That's what I want to see, but it is really a delight to have somebody that I know what I'm getting, and I'm getting a better version of David Savard right now. Granted, it's only two games, but he scores immediately. We're at 30% on the season for our scoring by defensemen. It's unfucking real. They're getting it done. I wish the forwards would wake up a little bit, but our defense has been just phenomenal, and it's great to have another veteran help pull that weight.
Yeah, like I think that he provides a lot to the team in terms of that veteran presence. I will never pretend to be a David Savard supporter. I don't know. I just think that's disingenuous. I think Savard... I don't know. I have a very love-hate relationship with Savard. Savard's a guy
I'm not his best friend, but at the same time, David Savard comes back. Let's just look at the Penguins game, right? Mike Matheson played 32 minutes and 21 seconds. Mike Matheson would have had to play that much more minutes. Now, granted, you can trickle it down to everyone else, but he still would have had to play something bullshit like that. You know, granted, this is an overtime game, but you know, having someone like David Savard, who, like you said, I'm not going to sit there and pretend like I'm a fan fucking favorite, but it's another guy that can eat up minutes that doesn't sacrifice a chunk of minutes from the young guys, Barron, Struble, Kovacevic, Gouley. It kind of helps take some weight off of Mike Matheson, who's also another injury guy. I feel like it's a little bit of relief for him, and it puts a little bit more pressure on like Barron. In my case, I'm just going to pick on him to try to get back to where he was about, you know, a month ago. You're going to lose a little bit of your minutes. He's our, in this game, our fourth most. He's almost tied with Caden Gooley at 1907. It's another kind of kick, you know, hey, look, you know, here's a guy coming back into the lineup that you should be playing better than. Show me that you're going to play better than him. Get some more time back. I don't know. To me, Savard comes back, takes some pressure off of Matheson. Like,
I think that's a good idea. And like maybe if that were like what we were seeing, but Savard's been thrown back in. He's on the top pair with Matheson. He's getting time on the penalty kill. He's getting time on the power play. He's getting time on the fucking, like, he was out there for overtime. So I don't think it's a case of show me you can keep playing. Savard's going to give you the pressure. It's kind of frustrating to see Savard walk back in there and kind of steal
and those get it
back. Like without, as much as I don't think that Barron, I don't think it's a coincidence that Gouley's play has suffered while he's been paired with Barron.
Mm-hmm.
Barron in his own zone is a disaster.
It's been a little tough.
I also don't think it's fair to say that Savard has earned anything more than Gouley has. Like, you're going to tell me just because David Savard is in his 30s, he deserves to play in overtime ahead of Caden Gooley? I don't think so. But Caden Gooley hasn't sniffed overtime. So
that's fair. Like that's fair.
A little bit. And like I said, I'm going to support Savard in the sense of I like the guy. I don't like how he's used. When Savard scores, I freak out. I think it's hilarious. I really do. But he also should not be prioritized over our young guys. Like, yes, Barron makes mistakes. Barron fucks up in his own zone. That's why he should get the minutes, because we need to, I care if Barron irons out those kinks. I don't care about developing David Savard.
I get what you're saying. I think they're getting the development. I just, to me, I feel like it's nice to have someone to take some of the weight off of Matheson. But I get where you're saying, where you should be like, well, that person should be one of these young guys. I get that. I just like that there's another vet, whether it's Dave Savard or not, just someone that can eat some minutes where they could potentially suffer instead of one of our young guys. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's tough to say, because now I'm pitting it as I'd rather have Dave Savard get sacrificed instead of one of these young kids. Whatever. Happy he's healthy. Well, we'll say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh shit. How about we talk Josh Anderson? And if we're talking Josh Anderson, we just got to bring up the Kraken game. I think it was like that entire line, Monahan, Pearson, Gallagher, just the older guys just really holding it down. Monahan, 2 goals. Yeah, that's a good one. So that night, I think Monahan had a 12 game since he scored, 19 games, something like that. Tanner Pearson had a while. And then Josh Anderson gets the empty net, which is by no means is it the most skilled, but it's definitely progression. But a big night for the veterans of the team. How'd you feel about Josh Anderson getting that goal?
Josh Anderson's a fucking wreck right now.
It's terrible. I
don't envy his position, and I don't envy the mental battle and just all the shit that he's probably going through. It looks terrible. I really do feel for him. That being said, he's making $5.5 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
He's constantly put into positions to succeed, and he constantly
gets in the way of his own self.
To succeed and is also dragging other players down with him.
Yeah.
The shootout attempt last night really painted a really good picture for it. Just the guy did not want to take that shot.
Mm-hmm.
And can you blame him? No, yeah. I am not attacking Josh Anderson personally. I am not rooting for Josh Anderson to fail. I'm just saying it the way I see it. He's a husk. He's not doing anything. Josh Anderson always had flaws.
He's on autopilot right now.
He's not doing anything well. It's like the one thing that he has been able to consistently do is score off the rush and get rush chances. And I'm not going to deny and say he hasn't had opportunities, but they're not off the rush anymore. He's been decent on the forecheck. He's been getting opportunities, but I don't know if I've seen a player just that mentally defeated. The guy, you know, you say, oh, he broke his scoring slump. You think his last 2 goals
were empty netters.
And it's been how long since? I don't actually know the stat, but it's been a ridiculous amount of time since he scored a goal, like a real goal.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to after your opinion, is that I personally feel that, yes, it was nice to see, but I feel like you didn't help him accomplish the mental aspect of it. You might have lightened the load, but I feel like it can be the inverse as well. Like, That didn't fucking help him. He didn't do it himself. Yeah, he put the fucking... There was... The skill in it was not the same skill of going up against a fucking goalie. And until he accomplishes that, I don't think that this truly helped him. I think if anything, he's like, it's fucking worse. Like, that my only goal is an empty fucking net. I'm still getting in my way. I'm still, like, two left feet and out there. I'm still... Like, I'm not playing the game. I'm literally just in my brain talking to myself and fucking up in front of myself. I think you best said it, though, that I don't envy Josh Anderson right now. It's I can't imagine that's fun.
No. And I hope he can figure something out, but I'm just...
It was so fantastic to see him smile, see the stadium explode like they did, see like the bench, like Caulfield, like just Patton, fuck, whoever was in front of him. He was so elated for him, you know. But like when he finally scores, like that same eruptedness will happen again. But it'll actually, I'm sure, for Josh mean something that much more than just getting the go ahead, easy, you know, easy goal. Don't know. It's tough. It's tough seeing what Josh Anderson, like what's happening to him mentally right now. It's, don't envy it at all. You want to talk about Slafkovský?
We can. I don't know. Like, when was the last time we spoke, had a big thing? I feel like we've been talking about Slaf a lot.
Okay, but I don't think we've talked since what was that? The Buffalo game. That was a big game for Slav.
Have we spoken since the shootout winner? I don't think so.
No, we haven't. That was the Buffalo game.
That was fucking awesome, eh?
Yeah, dude. Unfucking real. Unreal. He gets in a fight the same game. You know, just it wasn't anything to write home about, but it's another point towards that aggressive dominance, knowing that I'm a big guy, I can play in this league, I can hold my own in this league, I'm a big boy in this fucking league, and he can throw the weight. I'm not saying I want him to fucking fight. I was terrified, but at the same time I was like, this dude's gonna stand up for him, fuck himself and his team. Like, the growth of this kid turning into a man is fast, and it's fucking awesome to see. Yes, we've been talking about him a lot. Everyone's been on a positive note about it. He's getting unreal chances every fucking game. He's just showing signs of improvement. And I really need him to start fucking executing these, like finishing them, or we run into a situation where he's like a Yoel Armia. Unreal potential, can't follow through, but I think it's way too soon to think like that. He's been looking explosively awesome, and it's still his second, you know, it's his second season. He missed a lot of the first one. Knock on wood, we get a long tenure with him this season, but it's been sky's the limit with him. And that fucking shootout goal after a phenomenal game against Buffalo is just the ace of cakes for him right now.
Yeah. And like, it's nice for him to be able to showcase some of that like high octane skill too, right?
Yeah. Like we saw a piece of it a couple of games back when Jesse Ylönen won it for us, but he also got his chance, you know. This time it was like, fuck yeah, they're giving him another go. And he called fucking game on Devin Levi, dude.
It was a great move.
Great move. Poor Devin Levi, though. What a fucking season for them. Great move. He looked robotic. Like when they showed the 5G look of it, where the camera's that much more enhanced, it didn't look real. Like his head didn't move at all.
And oh, Corey, it's the head tracker.
Yeah, it's so disgusting. I was like, oh god, like,
I love
this. Is this a real human? Like, he looked like something out of like an 80s film, you know, like a big bad fucking European guy. It just looked unnatural. And then he kind of like picked up the ice at him. I was like, oh my god.
I love that camera angle.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Like it's so enhanced. It looks great. But just the dirtiness of the move itself, he kind of like he's kind of got to like throw some ice up to like get out of that position. Just he went in there so fucking reckless. I think
my favorite part of it was the celly.
Oh yeah, the fucking hands up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Yeah, it was. Are you not entertained? Everybody was like, oh, he's pulling the gladiator. I don't give a fuck. It was cocky. It was smooth. It's everything in that personality that they wanted us to take in from when, you know, the draft happened. Like, this was the kid we were getting that we talked about. That wasn't, you know, showboating, was cocky at the right level, you know?
Absolutely.
His play's been fantastic. Let's see. Why do we want to take this? Before we go anywhere, let's just go talk with our friends over at DraftKings. All right, Mason, let's see. Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. Thank you so much, DraftKings, for sponsoring us day in and day out. Let's look at tomorrow. So you got Anaheim versus New York. Jesus, the money line is tough on that fucking game. I would go Rangers, especially if Quick's in net. Scheisse's been tough. I'm not supposed to tell you who to pick, but Scheisse's look rough. Quickie in net, I think that's something to go with. Boston, the Islanders. The Islanders have like one of the top power plays right now. But Boston is Boston. I don't know why they're doing it right now.
Oh my God.
What you got?
Sorry to interrupt the ad read, but the Leafs have just come back from 5-0.
Who are they playing tonight?
They're playing Columbus. They came
oh my God.
Come back from 5-0.
Jesus. Oh man.
They're going to overtime. Holy.
Wow. I'd hate to have money on that game tonight. Unless I had the over on it. Let's see. Nashville, Carolina, Ottawa, Dallas. I'm going to take Dallas in that game. San Jose versus Arizona and Buffalo versus Golden Knights. I think you could make a pretty good parlay out of that. A lot of the teams feel uneven. So, you know, honestly, I've been playing a lot of overs. I think that's the fun one. If I took the over in the fucking, it was probably over 6 for Columbus. Toronto tonight, would have got that immediately. Wouldn't had to give a fuck too soon. But download the app now. Use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly and bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after insurance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after insurance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023. All rights reserved. Jesus, I have fucking cotton mouth, Mason. Like, it ain't nobody's fucking business. Nobody's fucking business. Before we get back to the Habs, how about the league coming out saying that they're going to have an international game? It's not going to be like the World Cup from 7 years ago, which is unfortunate. I think it's interesting, but I think it's tough that we're only getting 4 fucking teams.
I'm going to be honest, comment. I haven't
heard don't even anything. Give a fuck.
I haven't heard anything about that. What I have seen is the talk about the new All-Star format, which I think looks absolutely phenomenal.
What are they going back? They're going back to the draft, correct? Where
they've gone back to the draft, and they're also providing like $1 million incentive for the skills competition. Ooh. There's only going to be 12 participants, and there's points, they're all going to participate in multiple events, and basically whoever gets the most points wins, and wins like $1 million reward too. Nice. They actually consulted with McDavid to you know, talk about what the players wanted, what the players would look forward to doing. Ken Johnston just won it for the Jackets.
Let's go.
Terrible for my fantasy hockey team, but
is it really?
Well, I have William Nylander, so.
Oh shit! Well, I have Wool, and until Wool comes back, I could give a fuck about Toronto winning.
Fair enough, but yeah, like it seems like the league's actually kind of listening to what people want. Apparently, they had McDavid was like very involved in the whole thing, so. I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see how it turns out. I'm actually, for like, I can say honestly, for the first time in a very long time, I'm excited to watch the All-Star game this year. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, you know.
I think the last time absolutely. I think the last time I cared about the All-Star game was the 2 years they did the draft. Well, the last two. I don't remember if they did it before that. And then the year with John Scott, when they first did the mini tournament, you know, and that's it. Ever since, it's just been kind of a joke, but you're right though. It's moving in the right direction. They're asking the players what would best make them want to participate. Like what turns them sacrificing the fucking boys' vacation week that everyone else takes to come and represent the NHL? Like, you got to make it fun for the fans, and you got to make it fucking somewhat enjoyable for them, or we're going to get lackluster performances. No one gives a fuck. I mean, the last couple of years have been brutal. I hope this is a turn in the right direction. I was a lot younger back then. I was in my early 20s, and I thought the draft was fucking hilarious. I think it was Kessel versus Ovi trying to get a vehicle.
Yeah, they well, I don't think Kessel wanted to be drafted last, but Ovi certainly did. Poor Kessel, you like, dude. You miss iconic moments like that without the draft, and I think it just allows the personalities to shine. Like, at the end of the day, fans and players don't care about these stupid gimmicks they've been doing the last few years. Like, the format has just...
It's only cool for the people that are there. So, like, if you're paying to go, that's who it's for. But everybody at home, it's nothing. I don't give a fuck. You know, you haven't made it fun.
No, absolutely.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump on.
No, you're all good.
Oh, fuck. It's just been a while, and we've been... The league's been stabbing itself in the face repeatedly. It's good to see something at least positive from the fans and from the players.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All right. You got a couple more things you got on the Canadiens or league stuff or
I'm just thinking. In terms of Habs stuff, there's some stuff I kind of want to save for right before the World Junior break.
Okay.
Well, not the World Junior break, sorry, like the Christmas break. I'm just trying to think. No, I think that's a lot of the solid Habs points I wanted to bring up today.
The only one I can think of is despite the power play doing better in a sense. I feel like there's so much movement with Cole Caulfield that he doesn't even get opportunities anymore. And some nights I just feel so fucking aggravated that yes, he's getting 9 fucking shots in a game, 21 minutes, but I just feel like they've got this dude cycling so fucking much. How can he ever put it in the back of that? Like, how can he get consistency anymore? I don't know where you stand on that, but as someone who's sitting Cole Caulfield on the fucking bench because I'm watching them just let him run in a circle all over the fucking ice instead of making a move to where people jump off of him. I know it's harder now, but I don't know, Mason. They got to do something with that.
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, not just the eye test, but the numbers back it up. He's been, outside of Makhachuk, the unluckiest player in the NHL.
Yeah.
This year.
Somebody just dropped Makhachuk in my league.
They dropped Makhachuk?
Yeah.
Fuck, I've been trying to trade him like crazy.
they just had enough. They just dropped him. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Okay, outside of the Canadians, well, hang on. Let me just pull this up. One more time. Let me see who our next game is. I think I said in the beginning, the Islanders. Okay, so we played the Islanders Saturday. Sick. Patrick Kane. Have you watched any of that? I know
I haven't, but I've seen the highlights. He's looked good.
He's looked good. A lot more mobility. I picked him up in fantasy, and I've got my cousin upset. He's got a goal and assist. It's nothing like insane yet, but this dude held him all season and dropped him 2 weeks ago. And I laughed. I literally called him to laugh at him as I picked him up. And I was just like, he just signed to Detroit. I was like, he's coming. Like, he's going to play soon. And he's so fucking angry with me right now. Because he wasted a draft pick. Like, it was the last draft pick, you know, but like he grabbed him at like 16th round, whatever it is, you know, like our last round, you know, just as something to hold on to. And he held him, and he fucking held him for so fucking long. And then he gave up on him right before he signed. So he dropped him. He might have been out in the market for 2 days. Immediately, I get the alert that he's signing with Detroit. I called Cody. And I said, go check the transactions. And as soon as he pulled it up, I picked him up, and he got so fucking angry. And then I sent them the article.
That's awesome.
And now I'm losing. So I guess there's some karma, but but it's a great sacrifice, I guess. I'll take a week of losing just to see if this does something for me. I did roll the dice this season in fantasy. Picked a lot of old people and they're starting to get hurt. Oh shit. Well, dude, I know you're tired. I'm tired. You got anything else to add for tonight?
Fuck, nothing really.
Okay. It's been interesting. I know that you've been grinding. I've been grinding. It's been a treat to watch these games as of late. It's something that brings me back to somewhat of normalcy. So it has been nice. The team is either winning or getting the loser's point. There's something respectful in that they're not giving up. The games have been, for the most part, enjoyable to watch. We didn't touch on the Barron hit and the shit reffing going on right now in the league, but it has been a fun season so far. Mason, love you. Good luck on your final exam. Fans, thank y'all so much for bearing with us. We will talk to you guys again very soon. Thank y'all so much.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.